I guess you can do what you want to, but to me, this is very plain that spirit there is talking about you, okay? Your spirit is alive, but your body is still dead, okay? Then he takes the next step. He said, but, however, if the spirit of the one who raised up Jesus out from the dead, and again we have dwells, take up residence. It's present, indicative, active. It's a fact. It's a contemporaneous action. It's now, right? If the spirit that raised, the spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised up Christ out from the dead will also zoipoeo, quicken, make whole, make alive, make well, supernaturally energize, invigorate, renew, restore to health. Right? Zoipoeo, produce vitality completely in your mortal bodies through his spirit, again, dwelling. That's a present participle. It's dwelling. It's a present action. This is so plain that I wonder how, I didn't see it for a long time, right? It's so plain because so many, I guess because we hear stuff instead of asking God questions, right? There's two things going on. And we could take a lot of time going back to, I believe it's the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, around the 25th, 26th verse. We could talk about Moses. We could talk about the cleansing of the instruments in the temple with hyssop. We could talk about the water, and, you know, we could bring it forward into Christianity and talk about holy water and stuff like that. But the bottom line is this. Before the Spirit of God can come to live in you, you have to be fixed. Paul put it this way, Ephesians 5, where he said that we are his body, that he nourishes and cherishes us, that he washes us with the water of his word, and that is present, indicative, active. It's a continuing process. He washes us in the water of the word that you may be without spot. That would be sin. The next thing says without wrinkle, I think the King James says. The word there means any sign of aging. Or any other blemish. So again, Paul wrote both these things. He seems to be saying that once you've been washed with the water of the word, then you are without spot, you're cleaned up so that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the one who raised up Christ from the dead, can also come to take up residence in your mortal body. And when that happens, he will produce life. Zoipoeo. He will produce life. And again, I go through all those words and they just come out. And when you think about vitality, it really is. It's not just healing. Makes whole, makes well, makes alive. Yes. Supernaturally. This is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. To invigorate and energize and renew and restore. That's what he does. Look what he did to Jesus' body. That was actually dead in the tomb. His spirit was actually, quote, separated from God, in that sense, dead. His body was separated from his spirit, that made his body dead. And yet the Spirit of God had the power to make the spirit alive in the pit of hell in such force that he triumphed over the enemy, lauded over him, busted out, took the keys to hell and death, led captivity captive, went and got back in his own body, which the life force in his spirit, immediately his body was resurrected, it became alive. It was made whole, made alive, made well, supernaturally energized, invigorated, renewed, and restored, right? Perfected. Okay? Paul is describing this and saying us. Well, who does that? Jesus. If you don't hear it, there's no faith to believe it. Once you hear it, Jesus said, his word is seed. His words are spirit and life. They will go down into you, and they will grow, and they will bear fruit. But you got to let it happen. What I say? This is the way it works. Okay? The one who raised up Christ out from the dead will also quicken your mortal body through his spirit dwelling in you. That is not talking about the resurrection. It's not. Because the Spirit of God is not living in a body that's in a grave. Okay? And neither is your spirit. Hallelujah. He's talking about life. This is the way things are. And I truly believe that Paul, I think John not only experienced it, John watched Jesus do it. Okay, Paul, that we know of, didn't see Jesus doing any of these things. He wasn't there, as far as we know. However, I think Jesus appeared to Paul frequently, not just that day on the road to Damascus. I believe that the reason that Paul wrote and said, you can see these things, you can see them with your mind, the reason John said that is because they walked in these things. And somewhere along the line, through I'm sure great effort on the enemy's part, we've lost the ability that should be being energized in us because we don't think about it. Now, all of these things that I've just talked to you about, okay, the idea that nothing is impossible, the idea that the more we see him, we become just like him because we see him as he is. He's living in us. And because